So you had a busy night last night,
Yeah.
the State of the City address, and of course, one of the things that many people, I think, talk about, the economy, the city budget, and it looked like that the city spent 9% less than budgeted, when it seems like, if anything, costs are going up.
They
How does
are.
that happen?
Well, we've been as efficient as we could be for the last 5, 6, 7 years, and we always give ourselves a little bit of wiggle room, and in case any unexpected or unforeseen things come about. But last year, I thought it was very telling that we had about $800,000 in unexpected costs associated with our flood, our two tornadoes, and the heavy amounts of snowfall and the weather this last winter. So, all those things considered, still came in 9% under budget. A lot of it is we every day we look at being more efficient and as efficient as we can be, and that's just the direction from every department, every manager, from the top to bottom.
You also addressed the elimination of the business personal property tax. I believe, did you even meet with Governor Pence with some of the other mayors? What came out of that meeting?
Well, I've had a couple meetings with the governor, with a group of mayors. Usually, I think each time it's been six or eight of us. I'm involved in the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns, and we're discouraged by the fact that over the last few years there's been a concentrated effort to really defund local government, whether it be at the county level, the city level, or within our public school system. And it's very telling. A few years ago, the Indiana General Assembly raised the sales tax in Indiana from 6 cents to 7 cents. That's a 16% tax increase on sales here in Indiana. And this is the same body that raises a tax in Indiana 16%, but yet they want to keep cutting, enforcing cuts within local government. And I equate it this way, that I equate to losing weight. In general, it's usually a good idea to lose weight, and we can all look to ways to improve ourselves. But at some point, it becomes unhealthy, and it becomes a distraction, and it may not be in our long-term best interest. And that's what worries me about these cuts that are just broad in nature, this business personal property tax cut. It helps a lot of multinational corporations that are maybe invested here in Indiana, but not necessarily headquartered here, and puts the burden back on our residents and our small business owners, our farmers, and alike, and forces local government to possibly have to either raise local taxes or fees or things like that.
It looks like that there, I was on the way up, we were trying to keep on Twitter that they're talking about it today at the State House.
Yeah.
They're going through different versions. Are you already starting to prepare in somewhat for somewhat of a cut from this?
Yeah, I mean, well, normally in the last few years, that's been the direction. It's been constant chipping away, and that's our concern as far as a group. Not only the Indiana Association of Cities and Towns, the Indiana Association of Counties, our libraries, a lot of the school superintendents and those public servant groups have gotten together to oppose this. And it really, there's just a lot of bad ideas. One of the ideas talks about, and this is contained in House Bill 1001, pitting county versus county on the and making it a county option to eliminate the business personal property tax. Now, obviously, we compete with other counties in general for residents and for businesses, but why escalate that? I keep asking the question. I can show you respected economists that say we should work on regional collaboration and regional cooperation, but no economist that I've ever found says that we should try to pit all 92 counties against each other for economic development. And they seem to be stuck on that idea. And obviously, we'll see how this all ends as the session comes to a close here in a few weeks.
You also mentioned last night, of course, had some crazy weather. I assume that Kokomo has some of the same problems as other cities in terms of potholes.
Yeah, we have our fair share. It's, what's interesting, we had the largest amount of recorded snowfall in our county's history, over, I think it was over 61 inches so far this winter. And we still have a few weeks of possible inclement weather left. But I tell people, yes, I even tried to joke about a little bit last night in the State of the City that this is not news. We're going to have our a lot of potholes, because that's potholes come about from the cracks in the asphalt, the salt and the water and the moisture getting in and freezing and expanding, and then it just creates a creates the destruction of the concrete, so or the asphalt, and so we're going to have our fair share, and we've asked people to be patient. We feel like we're going to address them as quickly as possible, but that's what we have to face. That's the reality.
Just be patient, and the city will get to
we're doing our best. We've set up a hotline to try to report the worst ones, and people have, I think people understand it in general. You know, we would all love to have all, wouldn't it be nice if every street was all brand new and perfect and all that, but people do understand.
You also spoke about investing into the infrastructure of people last night, and I believe you're referring to the need for the city to develop downtown into residential, but also perhaps retiree housing. How do you go about that?
Well, there's no simple answer to any of the problems our city or any city's facing. But you know, Kokomo historically has been a manufacturing and a employment hub for this region, and still is. And we want to continue that. And as I stated last night, that you know, government at all levels have always invested in whether it be utilities or railroads and canals of the past, in business parks and industrial parks and things like that. Communities have always been, and local government have been, partners with the private development. We need to do that as well on the residential end. We have, and sometime I would love to take you through a tour of Kokomo. We have some of the beautiful suburbs that a lot of them are have been so well maintained over the last five, six decades. I mean, they're just very nice, and we need those. But we also need the urban option, a little more of an urban option for the two groups that are pushing that, and that is the baby boomers, who are now empty nesters and looking at a more walkable urban feel, and then the millennials. Those two demographics are really pushing for that type of living, and we need to be partners with private developers to make sure we have that housing option, especially when you consider that the Indiana General Assembly is pushing us away from dependency on property taxes from corporations. We need to, you know, government's going to be funded just like schools now, a lot of the dollars follow the student. It's not where they live, what district they live in, it's where they attend. And that's starting to happen as well for local government, and we need to make sure we have people here as residents as well.
So then would you say that that you are seeing a need for that, or is it more of if you build it, they will come?
It's both. There was a recent study done. We were doing our own internal study on the vacancy rates for the city of Kokomo, and there was a study that just came out a couple of months ago with I think about 8 or 10 of the cities in metro areas in the state of Indiana. And we were, I think, tied for second, only behind Bloomington, for the number of occupied apartments. I think it was in the 94-95% rate. And so, yes, we think there is a definitely a need. And there's a little bit of that. If you make your community nice and you make it safe and you make it attractive, people, you know, and invest in the right amenities, people will come to that, and it's happening in communities much smaller than Kokomo. This is not just something that's going on in Chicago or Indianapolis or major metro areas. This is taking place in mid-sized cities across the country.
we're here on the third floor of City Hall in the mayor's office, and I can hear construction noise in the background. What's going on right here downtown that I'm hearing?
Well, just catty corner from City Hall. We had announced it last year. We're building a new four-level parking garage that on the fifth floor will have 33 resident apartments, private development that will take place once the parking garage is built. The city will own and maintain the parking garage, private development on the fifth floor. Each one will have some outdoor space, either a balcony or an internal courtyard. And across from that, once it's completed, we're using it for surface parking now, but once it's completed, we announced last year, we're in the process of finalizing our fundraising drive, and we're going to build a $16 million new downtown YMCA across from the parking garage. And so that should, we're hoping to break ground on that late summer, maybe early fall, once we can shift the parking back over to the garage. So it's not a bad thing to hear construction going on during the day.
And you'll be hearing construction a little bit louder up here on this third floor. More renovations coming to City Hall too?
Yes. Last year, this building is 30, this year will be 31 years old. Last year we did a major renovation to the outside of the building, put in some new public space, a public fountain, some local artwork outside of City Hall. And we also remodeled the council chambers on the first floor, the atrium when you come in, and put in a public stairway, and worked on the public areas on the first floor. This year we're going to finish out the second and third floor public areas. Won't be as extensive as what we did last year. We're obviously going to finish it out, and so we can call the project complete and make some changes up here. And a lot of it will be just some a little bit of new furniture, mainly just some new wallpapering, and I think we're going to put in a new elevator, things like that.
We did actually have a couple tweets from listeners, viewers, that wanted to ask the mayor. So I'll start with Bob Dobbs, who is wanted to know what is going to be done about the Comcast monopoly in our town. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, most of the telecommunications industry is regulated at the federal and state level. I know people that subscribe to Comcast. Obviously, there are a lot of people I know too have satellite dishes and such. So. With that, I'm not really quite sure of what the what kind of answer we're looking for here, but it's we don't control it too much and regulate it too much. It's mainly done at the state and federal level.
Chris Hedrick would like to wondering about warning residents about policing up their area after trash pickup. I guess he's concerned about people leaving their trash cans out and then the pipe blow over and create messes. Is there any ordinance on that?
Is an ordinance that says we have a designated trash day for each specific neighborhood. There are some requirements with that. You'll place your tote so close to the street, facing the proper direction. We have the one-armed mechanical packers that pick up the trash. We probably have been lax, and for a very good reason this winter, as it has been extremely cold, and so we've kind of given a pass to people that maybe haven't gotten to cleaning up their yard in some of the areas. Or their alley, if it may be, during this winter. But obviously, we will. That's part of to answer the question. This, part of what we're doing is taking on the challenged neighborhoods, the older neighborhoods, and the blighted areas. And part of that is the personal responsibility that comes with that. So we'll probably be ramping up code enforcement as we have the last couple of years. And once we know we're through the winter season.
Kind of going along with that. I read about an ordinance about businesses that advertise signs that are no longer around, and the city is trying to go around and clean up those billboards.
Yes.
What is the ordinance, and what's the progress on that?
Well, I can't quote the specific ordinance, the details of it, but this is something the Plan Commission has taken on. We've, over the last few years, we've really We eliminated or made it, put in some very strong restrictions on temporary signs, and I'm thinking of the kinds that the blinking billboard, the message board signs that people would maybe have in front of their businesses on wheels and some of those things. And we've done a lot to become a little more stringent on our on what's acceptable and what's not. Part of that is we do have businesses that some of them have been closed for more than just weeks. We're talking months and maybe over a year. And taking down the sign as well. And sometimes that's not a business that's closed. It may be one that's relocated. But nonetheless, we're going to make sure that that's the responsibility of those business owners is to make sure that your signage is compliant with city ordinances. So even though nothing has changed as far as the ordinance itself and the regulations, we do expect people to follow the current ordinance in its current form.
And I assume, is that more of a city beautification type thing, or is that more of a maybe a public safety?
It's probably more of a beautification. Yeah. It's probably, you know, there's probably a little bit of both. If the sign has some, there could be some that have, and I can't think of any, but that may have a public safety part or element to that. But specifically, it's being good property owners. If you allow one to go and then it starts a deterioration of the neighborhood, and what we're trying to do in some pockets are to reverse that and make everyone responsible and make sure everyone's a good neighbor here in our community, whether it be people that live here or out of city or out of state property owners.
I see recently the governor announced a $285,000 grant to Morgan County going to flood mitigation, and I know that's an ongoing thing. We talked about that last month as well. Are there any more details been worked out on that, and any new funding sources coming along your way as well?
I've gotten no. We are working on flood mitigation, and it's probably going to be a multi-year plan, but not a long. We want to resolve this substantially in the next 2 to 3 years. We're not talking a 10-year plan to do so. We're talking 2 or 3 years. We are going to hopefully do what we can to get some outside funding from the state or federal level, but no commitments at this time. But it's something that needs to be addressed and has to be addressed here in our community.
Economic development funds have been allocated. This was a couple weeks ago, but we haven't talked to you since then. What are some of the things that the Kokomo residents can start seeing from these this new budget allocation?
Our edit funds, we have a pretty healthy cash reserve there. We're looking to make sure that everything we do, whether it be edit funds or CDBG funds or really any general expenditures, our goal is to. Is really to leverage every amount of investment we can to get as much from it as we can. So, for example, I think we do a very good job of targeting certain areas to tie it in with other development so that it it can be transformative. So we have some money that's going to the parking garage to help. We put a substantial down payment on it, so we were only bonding for 5 years. Part of it is sidewalk replacement in certain areas. I think some of it may be tied to one of our housing projects up at maybe the project on East Mulberry, and I'm not really sure which ones we have, but a lot of times the edit plan we put it in there and then we're able to use it as projects come up from time to time throughout the year.